Good morning. We're going to wait a few minutes. We don't have quorum yet. So please give us like three to five more minutes. Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant Meeting, Subcommittee Meeting. Today is Tuesday, September 7th, 2021. And I'm going to go ahead and take roll call. Probation Department, Chief Deputy Adam Bettino.
Hey, good morning, Jessica.
District Attorney's Office.
Elisa Blair is here.
Okay. Juvenile Court. Public Defender's Office. Department of Mental Health.
This is Karen Streich. I'm present. Good morning.
Good morning. Los Angeles County Office of Education. Okay. Department of Public Social Services.
Good morning, Siobhan Smith, I'm here.
CBO representative for District 1.
Akila Choa, present.
CBO representative for District 2.
Good morning, this is Patricia Song here.
Right. Good morning. And District 3?
Good morning, Josh Green here.
Representative for District 4?
Here.
And representative for District 5?
Michael Dutton here.
Okay. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum. And you can proceed.
Jessica, this is Tricia Penrose from Superior Court. I am present.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I do need to introduce myself to most of you. I'm Adam Bettino, a recently appointed Chief Deputy Probation Officer, and this is my first attempt to chair our JJRBG subcommittee. So the first thing I'm going to do is thank the team, Jessica and Ms. Hawkins, for doing their best to get me prepared. secondly, I will apologize in advance as we kind of clunk our way through the agenda and all the procedure and all of that. And then what I'll ask my team on the probation side, I'll ask our team to interrupt me to make sure that I don't make any mistakes along the way of getting us through process and all of that. So happy to be here. Excited to get us going this morning. Jessica, are there any other introductions that we need to do that you're aware of? You may be muted.
Okay, nothing left to do. We could proceed with the agenda item.
Great. Thank you. So if there's nothing else, we will start with an update on the implementation of the annual plan for 21-22. And what I want to do here is kind of open it up. We have some other probation folks on the line as well who may be able to fill in some gaps, but kind of, I don't know how much of an update for this group it is, because you've all been very involved in the planning moving us forward. We are in the process of still identifying the most appropriate temporary space for our youth. Right now, we are still looking at Campus Kilpatrick for a temporary site. We've had a lot of visits. We are working with Andy Couples and his firm to identify some of the areas that really need some improvements to the grounds. There's a couple of things that we need to solve around safety, and one of the other areas that we need to solve is housing for the staff at Campus Kilpatrick. So that's long been a concern. So those are some of the things that they're looking at, and I don't want to jump ahead to the next agenda item, but the other update that I wanted to give was related to site visits that are currently happening. So there's a lot of site visits that are currently underway to determine the most appropriate places for more of a long-term plan. So we're still doing some long-term planning. And one of the other things that we're going to get into is some recommendations for our upcoming reports, as well as some specifics around staffing, programming, and some of the service array that we want to be providing to these young people. I will defer to other folks on the call. I know Ms. Kaufman's on the call. I believe Mr. Garcia is on the call. Is there's some things that I'm missing. I don't know how much detail we want to provide, but I want to toss that out there.
Mr. Bacino, this is Tricia Penrose from Superior Court. So I did inquire about additional information for the site visits that were previously mentioned at an earlier meeting, and then I kind of heard nothing about them. So I am interested to see where those are at this point.
So the site visits are underway. They began last week, and we were notified that it's going to be really difficult for them to finish in the time frame that we had originally laid out. So we have a 60-day report, and again, I don't want to jump too far ahead in the agenda, but we do have a report that's due at the end of this month. The scorecard was finalized, I believe, and I know we had some folks here who were there as a part of those meetings, so we've been meeting with them to determine what things need to go on the scorecard, and then the site visits are going to commence. But for them to see, they're seeing both the active sites, and they're also going to see some of the sites that have been closed down as well. So it's going to take them a little bit of time to navigate the entire county and go and see that.
Who's doing those site visits?
So that is Andy Couples, who is our architect that we've contracted with through Public Works. And some folks from the probation department. And I'm actually not sure who else is. I know DPW is there as well. There's a couple of hands here, so I'm not sure. Josh, if you want to jump in here.
Hi, Adam. Thank you and welcome. I think I have a similar line of questioning to Tricia. So a number of us, I know you're joining the process, midway, depending on how you define how far the process has gone, midway through. But a number of us were took part in site meetings. So I think at least one question I have, site visits rather, is I think it was my understanding, and maybe I'm echoing what Tricia said, that the site visits that you're describing would be done in conjunction with the members of the JJRBG, that we would be given the opportunity to join probation staff and anybody else who was making those visits. And I worry about, I know that the scorecard is in the fiscal year 22-23 agenda item, but my understanding is that the scorecard was in response to the work that we did to make a recommendation about a long-term a secure track facility. So if these visits are part of that, which is like one of the core functions of the JJRBG, I think my expectation was that we would be invited to be a part of that. Do you know, is that still accurate? It sounds like they're moving forward without the folks here.
Let me confirm. So I will, and like I said, I think we have some folks on the line, but so that those visits have not started yet. There's still some conversation around the scorecard itself, but let me confirm with the team and I don't foresee any issue with that, frankly. Having members of the JJRBG going through and getting a look at what's there, especially when we go to some of the older sites, we need to envision what potential there may be for a permanent site.
Just to clarify, did any of them happen last week? And maybe this the planning started last week, or were there site visits that started already?
I think the planning was last week. The planning was last week. And to my knowledge, we did not have any official site visits with a completed scorecard.
Okay, great. So maybe it would just be, obviously, there's so many folks who are supporting on this, but it would be great, I think, to the extent that there are visits or there's information being gathered that would, we all can sort of help to shape and contribute to that, just if only for continuity, but also because obviously that's the, as I understand it anyway, the task that the state sort of created the body for. So just, thinking through how we can make sure we're supporting you all in that, but also getting the expertise here in that process. That'd be great.
Sure. And Patricia, I see your hand as well.
Yes, good morning, Chief. I know that we're hammering this point home, so welcome to the space. It's a very involved committee. I think the task before us is important and urgent. But I also just want to highlight that the July 27th motion by the Board of Supervisors does task probation in consultation and coordination with both us, the JJRBG, as well as the Youth Justice Advisory Group to work with County Council, the Chief Executive Office, Internal Services Department, the Department of Public Works, to initiate this assessment of all licensed probation facilities as we determine, this more permanent site. So I think it's not only been, trial and error of this committee to figure out how to work in collaboration with probation as the chair, but I think by the mandate of the board, but the scorecard itself, I think it concerns me a little bit to hear that it's been finalized and we have not yet had an opportunity to hear about it. So I hope that the agenda item is more than just an update, but really a discussion and opportunity for feedback on the scorecard. I also know that the Probation Oversight Commission asked for an update on the scorecard and it was not ready at that point. So all of this, I think, is an opportunity to really collaborate on each part of the process. I think the very reason that the JJRBG was designated a Brown Act was both so that this body and the public could fully inform, again, each step of the way. So just want to echo both Tricia and Josh's questions around our involvement in the assessment process.
Understood. And I do need to confirm. I do not believe that the scorecard has been finalized. And I see Ms. Kaufman has her hand raised.
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
So Josh, good morning. So
you know, the timeline for the inspections was really quick. And since you had already done the initial walkthroughs and assessment, DPW coordinated with the DLR group who Andy Couples works for. And that is the same group that did Campus Kilpatrick with the LA model. So they read the U Justice Reimagined. They did the initial walkthroughs with DPW and ISD to find out what's feasible. And then they're going to come back. And then that, I believe, would be the appropriate time to have everybody at the table to discuss what the scorecard should entail. So the preliminary walkthroughs were a lot about like electrical, plumbing, et cetera. And so I think that's why probably initially those walkthroughs did not include others, because they were full day discussions, again, with ISD and DPW around CEQA issues and all other sorts of things. But so moving forward, they, I believe that before they develop the scorecard, they're looking at, you know, what would be ideal with the literature and what's happening across the state. They also are going to recommend that there's other site visits to other facilities that they have designed, like San Diego. There's a woman's jail facility that has been redesigned, and then the San Diego juvenile facility for the DJJ population is almost finalized. So they're going to recommend walkthroughs in those facilities as well, and then come back also with the scorecard. So they'll design something that is conceptually appeasing, but then bring it back to the group to say, does this meet the needs of LA County with what Youth Justice Reimagined looks like?
Thanks, Jennifer. This is Josh. So it sounds like, is it that team, the architectural team, who is developing the scorecard to then be brought back for input and, I guess, discussion here in this space? Is that what you were saying?
So I don't think that's been finalized, but they do know that before a scorecard is developed, because obviously it is on behalf of the JJRDB, that they would come back and have a discussion in terms of whether you guys wanted to do a smaller subcommittee, because again, the timeline's going to be constrained. So I don't know if if they're going to be able to accommodate everybody's schedule, but they, before they finalize any type of scorecard, they want to have a discussion with members of the JJRGP and the department to say what that's going to look like and what the recommendation should be.
Got it. Thank you for that, Jennifer. I really appreciate it. Mr. Ochoa, your hand. I see it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Adam. I guess picking up on Jennifer Kaufman's point, I guess regarding site visits, it was my understanding that there would be additional sites vetted other than the sites that we visited this past winter. And so if there are going to be additional sites, I think Camp Holton was one. I can't forget the others. But if there are other sites being considered, it'd be great if members of this body could be invited to visit those sites as well.
Sure. And I think Holton is back on the table, actually. Mr. Ochoa, I think you're right about that. I had heard that last week as well. So again, I don't see any issue with that whatsoever, with inviting folks along when we do these. To Jennifer's point, some of this is really preliminary, without having a final scorecard. And again, it seems like we're getting in the weeds as to what the bones of these buildings actually are, all of which will be considered in the scorecard, you know, feasibility and cost and all those things. But in terms of sharing when we're going and if folks are able to attend, I really don't see any issue with that whatsoever.
Great, thank you.
Do we move to public comment at this point,
this
Jessica?
This is Michael Dutton. I'm on my phone, so I'm not sure if my hand went up or not.
I didn't see it, but, Mr. Dutton. I apologize. I did not see it.
That's okay. It was Munns and Mendenhall were and Holton were the three actually areas that out of the District number 5 that were mentioned that we would like to see, that the request came from me, and that's why I wanted to make sure that they were on the list as well.
Okay. Now, one of the things just that folks need to be aware of, some of these places that have been closed for some time, you know, they lose licensure. We notify the BSCC that we're closing these facilities. In order to get them back open for these purposes, they have to go through kind of a recertification process that can be lengthy. But again, all of these things are considered when we look at each and every facility that's out there, right? I mean, all of that will be part of the conversation as we get further here.
And from the board, they wanted us to look at those that were licensed. So if there's some on the list that I had mentioned that were not licensed, then they're out of the loop. So I understand. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mr. Dutton.
Okay, regarding public comment, we have one written comment for this agenda item number 3, no public comment. And I would just like to say that if anybody wants to submit a written public comment, that to please send it to the JJCC admin email. Also, if you'd like to make a live public comment, also express your interest by sending an email to the JJCC admin email address, along with your name, a number to be contacted, and the agenda item you'd like to speak to. So that's it for this agenda item.
Okay. So I'm going to move us on to item number 4, which we've already touched quite a bit, actually. So the first part is it was to provide an update on the scorecard and the site visits. As we mentioned, we're still kind of finalizing all of those things. We will communicate with this body when those visits are taking place. We would, you know, again, these seem to be sort of preliminary because we're not actually scoring anything at this point. We won't do that until we have a finalized document. But that's kind of the update, and we've already discussed it, as I mentioned. And then part B of this really is this kind of very near deadline. So there is a report due this week to the board on September 10th. Some of the subcommittee members, along with some of the folks on our team, have been meeting with the Youth Justice Advisory Group in order to form some really clear recommendations that will go by way of a board report, kind of a progress report later this week. So we have some draft recommendations. What I'm going to ask, so again, with the holiday and with the weekend and with this really short timeline, we were not able to share formally. What we'll do is once we have the board report drafted in the next couple of days, this thing becomes public, right? So the report, once it goes, becomes public. The recommendations that we have, though, were the JJRBG subcommittee in conjunction with the Youth Justice Advisory Group, which is what the board had asked us to do. Because probation, you know, is the kind of the host of all of these activities, we will be providing the report back to the board. So our team will write the report, the actual report. But what we're taking is all of these things that were drafted by a few members of the subcommittee in collaboration with the Youth Justice Advisory Group. So what I want to do is those of you who are really intimately involved in drafting this, and I know we don't have the document in front of everybody, but what I was hoping is that we could kind of walk folks through what the recommendations are and kind of handle it that way. And I know that that's not ideal, given that folks don't have the recommendations right in front of them. But because they're still being finalized and getting ready for the public by way of the board report, you know, we're sort of our hands are a little bit tied, given all the lack of time that we have to turn this thing around. So I don't know. Again, the main focus of this report back really is around staffing and organizing our staffing in a little bit of a different way. It's around programming, trying and seeking to promote positive youth development. And those are the two main areas. And then there's some conversation as well around kind of budget and reentry programming as well. What I'll say about the budget piece and what I'll say about the staffing piece, we need some time to do some research and some investigation around some of the staffing recommendations that are here. What is being recommended is a new classification for the probation department. We have not yet had a chance to engage our labor partners. That is called out in the motion as one of the activities that we need to undertake. That's going to take us a little bit of time. So the way that this report back is going to read is we will provide the recommendations that have been drafted here, and then we'll have to cite in there that matters related to budget and matters related to the particulars of the staffing. We're going to need a little bit of time to do some study with, and that involves our internal human resources folks, that involves CEO's office downtown, and it involves our labor partners. I really don't foresee too many issues. This comes as a really strong recommendation, not only from this subcommittee, but from other stakeholders, as well as I believe some of the board offices. So I don't really foresee issues related to these, other than the fact that we just need to communicate with our partners, and then we need to figure out mechanically how to bring some of these folks in. So I'll defer to the subcommittee here in terms of going through specifically what the recommendations are, because to be frank, the subcommittee really did all of the heavy lifting here. So I'm not sure who would like to take this update from here, or if there are any questions about what I've stated.
Adam, I can step in here. This is Patricia Song.
Thank you.
As a reminder to my fellow committee members, at our last August 13th JJRBG meeting, there was a discussion and I think agreement that not only per the board motion directing us to consult or get input from the Youth Justice Advisory Group, community service providers, the probation department, and labor partners, we would really actually take advantage of some of the depth and capacity of the Youth Justice Advisory Group and really receive some of their recommendations on top of discussions we've already had. Right? This committee has heard presentations about credible messengers, talked about programming and reentry, talked about staffing, and we in fact made some recommendations back in June in our initial report to the Board of Supervisors. So all of the additional work that has happened since through the Youth Justice Advisory Group and through liaisons here who volunteered to participate in the Youth Justice Advisory Group process really just builds on what we've been discussing. So those volunteers included myself. I'm actually a consultant in the Youth Justice Advisory Group space as well. And Josh Green and Bakila Ochoa. So we were all involved in developing or refining some of the latest recommendations. Also, as a reminder, in the July 27th motion, there are two directives that are really tasked to the JJRBG. The others, of course, are done in consultation with us, but two of them have some immediate and then upcoming deadlines. So one is to devise a plan that Chief Pitino has refer to that is due this Friday, and the topics of that plan really are around supportive programming, transformative staffing models, and a plan to ensure that a continuum of less restrictive options, including diversion, will be available. So I think that the report back for Friday is most detailed about supportive programming and staffing, and recognizes that of course, there are other county partners in this space already or in facilities already, and we heard many, many presentations over several months from the Department of Mental Health, the Los Angeles County Office of Education, Workforce Development, Juvenile Court Health Services. I know there are many others that I can't remember at this point. So this set of recommendations that we've been working on with the Youth Justice Advisory Group and as liaisons to this space really just build on that, right? So we want to reiterate what the Department of Mental Health has to offer. This is all in conjunction with it. So I know it's, again, not ideal to be talking at you through what we drafted up as an 11-page document, but just the gist of it is to really think about credible messengers as an additional layer of staffing for SYTF, a Secure Youth Treatment Facility, with the first site being at Kilpatrick. And not just as programs, right? A lot of groups, I'm sure, on this committee and, you know, listening to this call work in at these sort of sites already and have decades of experience working with young people inside facilities and in the community. But this really imagines credible messengers as something much more integrated and full-time so that they are working hand-in-hand with probation staff, with education staff, with behavioral health staff. And we would start with a cohort of something like 10 full-time credible messengers at Kilpatrick. And then as we move into designating a more permanent site and really transforming our entire youth justice system, of course, we're not just talking about 10 at Kilpatrick, but something system-wide across the full spectrum or continuum of the youth justice process. And credible messengers, we really think further several objectives: that they promote young people's development and healing, that they really are even a support support staff for all facility staff, and that they have the potential to transform the entire facility culture. And that we really also imagine that there be a network of community-based organizations doing credible messenger work so that the different strengths of various organizations can really be leveraged and connected and strengthen each other so that they themselves are more integrated as well as being embedded in the overall facility staffing. So I don't know what else to summarize. I'm going to look to Josh and Bakila to see, you know, how detailed we might want to get, but maybe just as a preview of what we may be receiving very soon.
Thanks, Patricia. This is Josh. I don't have anything specific to add other than to just reiterate, I think, one of the core recognitions from the subcommittee or the work group's perspective was that as we mentioned this already earlier in this meeting, as we continue to work through selecting a long-term facility, there is a recognition that there is an immediate need for the young people and the staff inside of Campus Kilpatrick. And so much of the initial report back is oriented towards the care and well-being for everybody in that facility in the short term. So just as an orientation, I think there's a recognition that there is there are going to be a number of report backs and a number of urgent issues, including the site visits and the scorecard that we talked about. But in the short term, supporting all the folks who are going to be at Campus Kilpatrick staff and especially young people is the emphasis of the work done so far. Chief Patino, if you're speaking, you're muted, I think.
So heartfelt to you. Thank you, Josh. Apologize. This is really well thought out, and I think the recommendations are great. I think it's there's a lot here for us to sift through in terms of operationalizing. But I really like how it takes one of our facilities that's running. We have big chunks of the LA model already implemented there and some things that we can build upon. So I think thinking through it, as I read through it, I feel like this is a really good start. we have to do some, you know, roll up our sleeves on some of the mechanical things, but I think this is a really good start. So what I'll say again is, you know, in a very short time, we will take these recommendations, synthesize them into a report back to the board. Some of the areas that we still need to kind of work through, as I mentioned, really trying to really figure out the best way to start with the Credible Messenger program, how to potentially leverage existing resources and just get going on something that maybe looks like a pilot. I know pilot has certain connotations for certain folks in county land, but at least to get us to where we're getting started. We, by way of update too, I think at last glance, we have seven young people who are now sort of staying with us at this point. And so we do need to move quickly to implement some of the programming that's laid out here in your recommendations, as well as the staffing model. So I don't know if there's any other comment on the recommendations at this point. And I have to apologize again. The timing of this is not ideal. I wish we would have had a better way to kind of share this with the larger group. But folks were drafting documents over the weekend, and then we had the holiday, and here we are trying to get meetings calendared so that we can make sure that we're maintaining momentum. Any other questions or comments on this item?
I had a comment and it's sort of a request at the same time. I'm the newest member of this committee because of my placement, which was about a year ago when Director Faust was doing the work and site visits were going on. And I miss Kilpatrick, and I would like to visit that because I've sort of been operating in a vacuum without having a concrete visual in my head for that. The comments from my other colleagues about Credible Messengers and what have you, I think, are right on point. And I just wanted to make sure I got that in so that I could be included at some point in time to a visit to that location.
Mr. Dunn, we can set that up for you. Anytime you want to come and see it, we can certainly set that up. It's not a problem at all.
I'll be in touch with Sharon, and we'll see what we can do then.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I suppose we can proceed. Are there public comments on this item?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Please.
So just in terms of timeline and process, will something be sent out to the JJRBG before Friday, and then we'll have an opportunity to send you at least written comments, or what's the plan?
Yeah, so I think that's probably the best plan. We're going to have a really quick turnaround, and what I need to talk to my team is when we send that, do we send it just to the representatives from the board, or do we send it to the entire committee en masse? Which, you know, I'm being told there's lots of folks that are on our email list and things like that. So I would prefer it if we just work with the folks who've done the drafting of the document. I don't know if that is sufficient or not. So I'd have to ask some questions about how we would share a draft board report internally. I certainly don't have a problem. Again, these are your recommendations. We're kind of putting it on letterhead and making some slight adjustments to match kind of how we typically report things to the board. But so I'll have to have some internal conversation, and I don't know, again, I'll rely on our team. I don't know in the past if that's something that we've done where we would share a draft board report with the committee before sending. But because, and again, as you've called out, Patricia, as Josh called out as well, we want to make sure that you know, we're adhering to what is actually being called out in the motion from July 27th. And so trying to figure out how, you know, to be collaborative in this manner. Patricia, let me have some conversation internally, unless there's somebody on our team who can answer it now. And I don't know that there is. Then I'll need to get back with some folks on that.
That makes sense. I know that there's a lot of process here, and we want to be careful to adhere to whatever rules govern. I'll say it as a liaison, I'm guessing Josh and Pahila might feel this way, that we feel some obligation to bring back work to this full committee and have them have the opportunity to read in detail what we've been working on. So on whatever timeline that makes sense, I think it'll be important at some point to have this full committee see and be able to review what just a few of us were tasked with.
Yeah, what I want to avoid, I want to avoid asking for multiple extensions on some of these report backs too, right? So at some point, I think we bleed into they become just progress reports. So we're doing 60-day report backs, which makes me a little bit more comfortable because we can just let them know where we are. The cadence of our meetings has not kind of fallen in line to where we have regular meeting, discuss and vote, or, discuss and agree and then move on to the report following that. So we find ourselves in this weird week of trying to rush to this. Yeah. So let me get a little bit more information and then I'll be in contact if once we have something drafted and figure out how widely we can share it. I want to talk to council as well. And again, the spirit of collaboration, I know that's not, the best answer, but it is something that I need to learn to be honest, just about process and ensuring that we're sharing what we can.
Great, thank you.
Okay, regarding public comment, we have one written comment that will be sent to the subcommittee members, and we have one public comment. So, Chief Pitino, how many minutes would you like to give the caller?
We can do three. We're doing pretty good on time here, so we can do three.
Okay. We are going to be talking to Oscar Canales. As soon as you start speaking, your 3 minutes will start. Thank you.
Oscar Canales, my pronouns are he, him, his. I am with the Anti-Recidivism Coalition as well with the Los Angeles Youth Uprising. Thank you today for acknowledging the need and urgency for credible messengers. I would like to rephrase that the current approach to justice, which relies on incarceration and other punitive measures, are extremely expensive and often fail to provide positive opportunities for justice-involved people or reduce the tension and frustration within the homes and communities. Thank you, Mr. Pitino, for mentioning that there are 7 children currently that are basically, in other words, stuck in the compound, and we must look at that, and we must move urgently and swiftly to ensure that these children are already receiving the care and need that they deserve. The longer they sit in the compound, the longer they sit in a cell without the resources, without the proper things that they need to ensure that the rehabilitation is efficient, we need to act now. We need to have credible messengers in the compound, people that they can relate to, credible messengers from the communities that can give the kids resources now that they're on our care to ensure once they come home that the public safety of the community is safe. And the way we do that is ensuring that we have people from the community that have lived experience, that have been in incarceration, that can relate to these children and kids and let them know that there's a light at the end of this tunnel. I myself was in the compound, and I did not see myself differently until a credible messenger came into the compound, a place that you're mostly in your room, isolated from the rest of the Sylmar Juvenile Hall. And when the credo messenger came into the juvenile hall, that changed my life. To hear him tell me that I can become something, I can become a positive role model for my community, that planted a seed in my head. I went to DJJ 4 years later, and that credible messenger stayed in my life the whole way. Once I came home, he was one of the first person to greet me in my community. That helped me and paved the way for me to ensure that I have a successful reentry into my community and for public safety, for the community. If we really care about public safety and about the community and about the children and about care first, jails last, please take this urgent. Mind you, there's 7 children. Right now we are speaking, there's 7 children with no plan on what is going to happen to them. We must act with urgency, and we must consider these children's needs and cares. Thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Oscar.
That's it for public comment.
Okay. Are there other matters that we need to discuss at this point? Jessica, if you're speaking, you're muted.
Okay, we're all done with public comment.
Okay.
And I have no other matters on my end.
Okay. I think it's wise if we schedule the next meeting, just because we need to make sure that we're moving forward as often as possible through this. I know that previously Brandon Nichols, who was chairing before, had attempted to do it every single week. That feels like a lot, but I'm wondering if we could at least meet every other week, so that we make sure that we're keeping momentum up. If we learn that, for example, because this report back is part of the overall plan, if we learn that we need to bring all of those recommendations to this body in order to submit something to the board, then, you know, that's going to hold up our report backs as well. So I apologize. I need to do a lot more learning in this space. But I do think it's wise that we schedule our next meeting if possible. I am going to... Forgive me for 1 second. Is it hot? Do folks want to try to meet sometime next week, or should we push into the week of the 19th, the week of September 20th?
This is Bakila Ochoa. I was in favor of us meeting weekly, given the amount of work that we have to do. So I'm in favor of trying to find time next week.
Great. Thank you. So it's the beginning of the week. That gives us time to establish an agenda. If we do Thursday or Friday next week,
I think that makes sense. Just in light of this report back that will happen on Friday, and then the next report back to the board is September 24th. It would be great if the committee both, you know, saw some of the progress that was reflected in the report back, and then, you know, the upcoming progress report on the scorecard and facility assessment. Those would be my requests for our next agenda.
Okay. So can we try for Friday the 17th in the morning? Okay. So our team will be sending something out to folks.
Thank you.
Great. And with that, think we can adjourn?
Do you need a motion for that?
Can I just adjourn? Do we need a motion for it?
Well, we have one more public comment for agenda number 5, written. No? Oh, no public comment. Written? And we'll send it to the committee members.
Okay. Then can I get a motion to adjourn?
I'll move that we adjourn to help out.
Thank you. And can we get a second?
Second, Siobhan Smith.
Thank you all for your patience today. I really appreciate it. And you'll be hearing from us very, very shortly, hopefully with some of these recommendations for the board report. If not, you'll be hearing from us for with the agenda for the next meeting for next week. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.